Oh, my God. administration building was seized by students at Harvard a couple of months ago. The administration promised a full investigation and appropriate action. Well, this week, 16 of the students involved were ousted from the school for periods ranging up to 2 years, and that action may have been one of the contributing causes to the disturbances and demonstrations at Harvard's commencement exercises. Monitor's Linda Sutter's tour of representative campuses recently brought her to Harvard, and here's her report on the situation there.
What Harvard must resolve if she's to remain a workable university is, what is the Harvard way? Is it flexible, leading social change as the students want, or is it the traditional self-perpetuating ivory tower, which is what it has been? Philip Arano, a Harvard senior, talked about the causes of Harvard's problem.
Harvard feels that often it is the best and it's worked in the past, so it sees no need to change. I also think you have to recognize that the national issues of Vietnam and the race problems in the cities have had a great deal to do with the student unrest, because there is a general sense of bitterness and alienation among the students, and that can get carried over onto the university.
Traditionalists are reluctant to change Harvard. They know change must come, but they fear it will endanger Harvard's necessarily contrary position. Social critic on one hand, but dependent on that same society for its existence. Richard Gill, of the senior faculty, who's master of Leverett House, explained his fears.
Many of the students, and indeed many faculty members, are asking the university to take a more explicit, a more active role in fomenting change in the society. Though they lack a fundamental faith in the kind of institution that the university is.
At this point, neither side understands, trusts, or respects the other. But there are those at Harvard who see the value of both change and tradition, who see some sort of compromise between them as Harvard's solution. One of those is Dean Archie Epps.
I think our crisis has been, of course, an educational experience for everyone. Painful and difficult. The gentle ties that bind us have been torn and strained. But I suspect we've learned something. Harvard is, of course, as other universities are, not only buildings, but a place with a soul. One would hope that would reflect the outrage and the sensibilities of the young, and also the wisdom of the elders.
Students are becoming more skeptical, and they're losing patience with Harvard's slow response to what they believe are urgent and straightforward demands. The continuation of this response, according to Mary McCarthy, a junior at Radcliffe, can have serious consequences for Harvard.
Well, it has to change, I think, because people are going to insist that it change. And it should change in order to continue, I think, either the Harvard tradition or the Harvard myth, whichever it is. And that is that it is a responsible community of scholars and students, and that it is basically humanitarian. If those in power at the present time realize the risks they're taking if they choose not to change. And I think that the crisis of spring is certainly a demonstration of what they face if they don't change.
Students care for Harvard and they want a changer. Traditionalists care for Harvard and they want a preserver. Yet they all agree Harvard's threatened by the increasing gap between them and the decreasing time left to bridge that gap. Linda Sutter, reporting for the younger generation on Monitor.
Hey, Mama Lion, guess who came of age? Hey, Mama Lion, open up the cage. Boys, 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 boys
California sliding into the sea. Would you call that their fault? This time they were singing about Mama Lion here on the Monitor Beacon.
What do you do when the music stops? Where are you then? Where are you then? When you drop full blown on all the mountain tops, where are you then, my friend? What do you see when your pupils contract? When you're out in the alley after your act, and you're not quite whole, the straight world's intact. Where are you then, my friend?
You may think drugs are the answer to all the things you may think are wrong with the world. But with that answer, nothing changes, except you. And if too many of you choose that answer, where are we then, my friend?
Where are we then?
The preceding was brought to you by the National Institute of Mental Health.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
Now from the Monitor Sports Desk, some items about baseball, tennis, and racing. The New York Yankees traded veteran shortstop Tom Tresh to Detroit in exchange for outfielder Ron Woods. Tresh was the oldest Yankee in point of service. In tennis, there were two major Davis Cup upsets today. Russia defeated Italy, and Romania ousted Spain to qualify for the finals of the European B Zone. In the European A Zone, Britain eliminated West Germany, and will meet South Africa in the finals. In racing, the hottest man around is Mike Maselli. Yesterday, Mike rode both ends of the Daily Double at Monmouth Park, and today he did it again, scoring with Daily Reminder in the first and Big Mistake in the second, payoff 1880. Some mistake. And racing fans, he's riding again on Monday. Stay with Monitor for the latest in sports. Monitor, Jim Lowe here. And on the dock of the bay, Sergio Mendez.
Thank you.
going to college, and are the admission policies the correct ones? Well, here's a Monitor College poll report by Bill Ryan of NBC News.
The admission ticket to most colleges today is still through the College Board Examination, which most every high school student takes before being accepted by a college admission board. College Poll tried to learn what college students think of the College Board exams after they are in college. On over 100 campuses, students were asked, "Do you believe that College Board examinations are worthwhile in determining your acceptability to college?" Well, nearly 70% said yes. A Duke University sophomore said the boards do more than just determine how qualified you are for college. They also help you decide which college you should attend. It was that aspect of the exams which seemed most favorable to students. All colleges are not of equal academic challenge. Most colleges try to accept students based on their ability to meet standards of entrance and their ability to remain in college. Colleges like MIT, Stanford, Princeton, and Notre Dame generally won't admit students with boards under 600 out of a possible 700. Smith, Vassar, and Rosemont require high board scores of their applicants. Other schools accept grades of 500, and it is argued that this pre-selection helps students find schools in which they will stay till graduation. Approval of college boards by students apparently increases with the time spent in college. More than 55% of the freshmen polled said they approved college board exams, while nearly 80% of the seniors felt that way. Of the more than 30% of the students polled who do not approve the exams, many felt they are no real test of a student's ability and deprive the late starter of a chance for a college education. It's true, many students blossom when they get into college. It is also true that many do not test well. And many colleges are reducing emphasis on the board scores as the sole criterion of admission. But that's mainly to get a broader base of students. A dean of admissions in the Midwest said, "We don't want just brains here. We also need a well-balanced personality among our student body." On the whole, College Poll shows the board scores are still very important in most admission decisions, and the students feel they are fair and help place a student in the most logical academic slot for him. Bill Ryan, NBC News, for Monitor.
Running Bear may sound like the title of a new French movie, but it's only an Indian-type song by Sonny James. Young Indian.
Running Bear, love a little white girl.
White Dove and The Raging River equal happy hunting ground. I've seen worse movies than that, you know. Would you give $1 to provide medical treatment for 260 children? Well, you can do just that through UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Emergency Fund, for the hungry, despairing, and innocent children caught in the Nigeria-Biafra war on both sides. Send your contribution to UNICEF and let your conscience dictate how much you can send. UNICEF, care of United Nations, New York. Listener in the central Washington area, you've joined Monitor through station KIMR Yakima. And I'm Jim Lowe. So glad you're along.
Enjoy the good company of a very well-behaved 14-year-old. Monitor 69, celebrating its birthday this week on NBC. So stay tuned.
Go north or south, go east or west, just get in your car and you'll head for the best. Wherever you are, you'll find Monitor on NBC.
Go north or south or anywhere, and Monitor's where you'll find the best in music today. I'm Jim Lowe, and this is the moment, my favorite. The time for Monitor's Picks of the Week, our selection of the best of the new records, the one we think will gain the widest and quickest popularity. Our first pick tonight involves a young lady who had one of last year's biggest hits. As a matter of fact, it came out last summer. Maybe that's a good augury for Jeannie C. Riley, who didn't fare quite so well on her next two releases after the sensational Harper Valley PTA. We at Monitor picked the next one because, well, it falls directly into that category that I like to call American Gothic, along with songs like Honey, Little Green Apples, and Harper Valley PTA. Songs that have a strong middle-class feel and appeal. Songs that, had he been a songwriter, Norman Rockwell might well have written. Here's a Monitor pick, Jeannie C. Riley and The Rib.
I keep the books at the county courthouse and answer phones of every kind from coast to coast. Help keep the astronauts in space with complicated formulas. And give you echoes of my voice and song. I wash your dishes, iron your shirts, and give you children. And never mind a bit except when you forget that I am flesh of your flesh. Adam called me woman, but I am the real, and not a foot on, stepped on, not electron. by side, hand in hand, not lesser than, not greater than, but just what heaven planned. Yes, you see, I am the real. Many fields have I bought, and with my own hands have I planted vineyards. With the fruits of my labors, I have reached out to the poor. Before the light of day, I have risen to feed my household. And my husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. My price is far above rubies, but for love, trust, and respect will I gladly share my gifts, and willingly will I work for good, but not for evil, as long as he remembers that I am the real. And not a pistol to be stepped on, not a lick to be walked on, not a hip bone to be sat on, not a backbone to be leaned on, not a shoulder bone to be right on, not a head bone to be right on, but a real bone to be side by side, not lesser than, not greater than, but just what heaven planned. For I am the real.
G.C. Riley in our first monitor pick of the week from the dozens we received. Watch for the rib. Incidentally, we don't consider picking it a ticklish affair. Well, moving right along, as they say, here's a new one. Here's a new one that I think has several things to recommend it. A good performance by a good girls group, a nice solid arrangement, and a soprano note that the girls hold for, count 'em, 18 seconds. You'll notice that it's toward the end of the record. Since there are three of the young ladies, that's 54 seconds and must be a conference record. Notice the traditional intro here, almost in the manner of the Ink Spots years ago, and the nice piano. And a group called Mercy. Thank you. called Mercy and Forever, another Monitor pick with your host, Jim Lowe. The next pick is a current movie theme from Romeo and Juliet. One of these days, they're going to produce a movie without a theme, and everybody will faint. But in the meantime, we'll continue to get incongruities like love theme from Return of Creature from the Black Lagoon, you know? As I say, it's a new song, but it sounds old-timey, both lyrically and melodically, I think, in that, like the great ballads of the 1930s and 40s, it takes itself very seriously. The girl, Teresa Graves, is new, and I understand will be a regular on Laugh-In with Ronan Martin this fall. I think she has an interesting, ingratiating style, and although I don't know much about her track record, I would guess from listening to her phrasing that she has had group experience. Here's a Monitor pick, Teresa Graves and A Time for Us.
A time for us, someday will be, when chains are thrown by courage born of a love that's free. A time when dreams so long denied can flourish as we
pick, Teresa Graves and A Time for Us. More Monitor picks of the week coming up on the Monitor Beacon.
Dial Plaza 78866 and WNBC Radio will put you in contact. The Sunday evening telephone show that invites you to discuss today's issues with a panel of clergymen. This is Mike Moss. I'm your host. Our panelists are the Reverend William Van Meter, Rabbi Edward Gershfield, and Monsignor Walter Kenny. This week we'll discuss parents and how they communicate with their children. Be in contact. Listen to and call WNBC Radio, Plaza 78866, tomorrow night at 9:05.
Boys and girls, summer's the time for fun, and fun is what you'll have at YMCA Day Camp. Enjoy swimming, sports, song fests, cookouts, and other camping experiences. The Y specializes in group activities all year round, so their day camps are bound to be great. But don't wait to register. Now's the time to phone Lackawanna 4-8900 for more information. That's Lackawanna 4-8900.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York. It's Monitor, and specifically Monitor Picks of the Week right now with Jim Lowe. For our next pick, we turn for the second time tonight to the far-flung Nashville influence. Earlier, we heard Jeannie C. Reilly. Although Roger Miller hasn't actually been connected with the Grand Ole Opry in some years, he, of course, falls definitely into that big bag called country and western. And it is a big bag because it goes all the way from what the country entertainers call no hope songs, the very sad ones, to the wild freewheeling comedy songs that Johnny Cash and Roger Miller do so well. Roger takes us on a trip in this Monitor pick, literally, from Baton Rouge to the coast. A trip for two, except as you will hear, one of the two becomes a dropout. It's Roger Miller and me and Bobby McGee.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, heading for the trains. Feeling nearly faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained. Took us all the way to New Orleans. I took my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana and was blowing sad while Bobby sang the blues. With them windshield wipers slapping time and Bobby clapping hands, we finally sang up every song that driver knew. But it's free. Feeling good in the season, Lord, when Bobby sang the blues. Feeling it was good enough for me. Good enough for me, Bobby McGee. From the coal mines of Kentucky to the California sun, Bobby shared the secrets of my soul. Standing right beside me, Lord, through everything I've done. And every night she kept me from the cold. Then somewhere near Salinas, Lord, I let her slip away. Looking for the home I hope she'll find. I tried all of my tomorrows for a single yesterday, holding Bobby's body next to mine. We're just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing left is all she left for me. I've been feeling good this season, Lord, when Bobby sang the blues. Good enough for me and Bobby McGee. La 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 la.
With Roger Miller. Sad song or no, you'll notice the singer gave himself top billing, though, huh? That's a record artist for you. And there you have it for this week. The four we felt were best, called from the dozens we received here at Monitor. Jeannie C. Reilly and The Rib, Mercy and Forever, Teresa Graves and A Time for Us from Romeo and Juliet, and Roger Miller and the one you just heard, me and Bobby McGee. We hope to have more Monitor picks of the week for you a week from tonight. Tomorrow is the day we honor fathers. Fathers what? Anyhow, Bob Newhart has a few remarks for all those days when Father did a little celebrating on his own. You might call it Father's Morning After. On stage for Monitor, the thanking man's drinking man, Bob Newhart.
The most frightening thing to me when I got married was that there would be one person who would know me better than anybody else. You know, you can fool a lot of people, but you can't fool your wife. There are dark corners of yourself you don't want anybody to know, but she gets to know them. She knows your good side and your bad side, you know. You can fool your children, and you can fool your friends. You know, go out to a party and get smashed, and they'll say, and your wife will say you were really smashed, and your friends will say, oh, I didn't realize Bob was drinking, you know. But you can't fool your wife. Now, this is a guy, gets up the next morning with it. He's been out, and he's got the daddy of all hangovers, see? And he comes down. Rob, don't play with the dump truck. Just leave the dump truck alone. Don't play with the Varroom toy. Just leave the Varroom toy alone. Daddy doesn't feel well, right? Daddy has a cold, brother. Another cold, yes, I know. I know Daddy had a cold last weekend. Is it? Grown-ups get weekend colds, right? You get a cold from going from a warm place into a cold place, or from a cold place into a warm place, and from booze. Yes, you can get it from booze. Who told you can get a cold from booze? That's where Mommy said Daddy's colds come from. Have Mommy come in, and don't slam the door. Hi there. Hi. No, I feel fine. I know I was drinking last night. I feel fine. Just sitting here watching television. Picture shoot's been out a week, huh? I thought I was going blind there for a while. Yes, I know I have your dress on, dear. You don't have to tell me. That's why the milkman waved at me this morning. What does Fred want for breakfast? Who's Fred? My old army buddy. I insisted he stay with us last night. Honey, I was never in the army. How did I ever? I thought I'd sit here, and then maybe a couple hours, I thought I'd try to make it to that chair over there. And if that goes well, I thought I'd try to stand up tomorrow.
Bob Newhart, a stand-up guy anytime. On stage for Monitor. Can build up engine sludge. Be safe with Quaker State Motor Oil. Best protection for cars that don't exercise.
Quaker State, your car. Keep it running young. Quaker State, your car.
Bet you don't know who Greville Pooley is, huh? Well, he's secure in American history because on this date in 1623, Mr. Greville Pooley was the first man on this continent to be sued for breach of promise. It seems a Miss Betsy Markward allowed this pilgrim to make progress on those long winter nights when she might very well have been attending to her knitting. The judge made Pooley marry the girl, and it was the first concrete evidence that the promise of America would be kept. Once in My Life, Ronnie Aldridge. NBC News on the Hour straight ahead. I'm Jim Lowe. And here's an unsolicited testimonial from one of the ancient philosophers.
Vote for Wathica.
Chief Wathica.
No, Wathica. The Wagner Thaler Carey team. This message paid for by citizens for Wagner Thaler Carey.
WNBC.
This is the place.
New York.
For Joe O'Brien.
Undercoat.
With Charlie Brown.
Radio.
That's Jack Hayes right here on
WNBC.
The Big Wilson Place.
New York. Anytime.
All the time.
Every time.
Time.
All the time.
Every time.
Sing with WNBC New York.
And me, Big Wilson, weekdays 9 to noon on
WNBC New York.
The summertime place.
We have Jack Hayes right where you want him. Weekdays, noon to 3 on WNBC Radio 660 New York.